We shall now turn to the chapter which we read together, 1 Peter chapter 2, and our text for this morning is verse 24. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Today we're met together to celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Christ instituted this sacrament on the night in which he was betrayed. The supper is there to edify and to build up the church of God. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." The sacrament is not magic. The taking of the bread and the wine will not in and of itself benefit anyone. The Roman Catholic idea is that when the priest consecrates the bread and the wine, it becomes the actual flesh of Jesus and the actual blood. And it's by eating the literal flesh and drinking the literal blood that people are edified. And you don't need to have faith. As long as you eat it, it magically does you good. But we know that that is not the case. The sacrament is there to be partaken of by faith. And it's only when we, by faith, eat the bread and drink the wine, and by faith see what is meant by the bread and the wine, that's the only way that we can get benefit. We must discern the Lord's body aright. See under, see behind the elements to what they symbolize. They are signs which symbolize gospel truth. And the sacrament is a seal which confirms the truth symbolized to us. So we need, along with the sacrament, we need the word to explain it, to interpret it. And that's why when we're celebrating the Lord's Supper, we always have a sermon, the so-called action sermon, to explain the actions that we are involved in when we take the bread and the wine and eat them. So we have to preach, and in our preaching we deal with the atoning work of Christ. When the body was broken, when the blood was shed, and what the symbolism means, what it all means. And here today we have one of the most wonderful verses in the whole Bible, a brilliant verse in the way that it sets before us the work of Christ. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. And I want this morning to ask of this text six questions, and we'll go through these questions in turn. First, who bears our sins? You notice that the sentence begins in verse 21 and continues to the end of verse 24. Verse 21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps. Christ, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Christ, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Christ, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Who is he? He's the eternal Son of God, equal in power and glory with the Father. How wonderfully John speaks of him. In the beginning was the Word. Not in the beginning the Word began, the Logos began, but the Word was there. Before creation, before time began, in the beginning was already the Word. And the Word was with God, face to face with God, separate and distinct from God. And the Word was God. God, God the second person of the Trinity. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. How foolish of those who speak of Christ as created. Jehovah Witnesses and others. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So everything that was created was made by the Logos, by the Word. He alone is the uncreated Creator. The Word with God, was God, is God. And verse 14, John 1, the Word was made flesh. The Son of God, equal in power and glory with the Father, the Word was made flesh. Like you and me, human nature, a human body, and a human soul. The Word was made flesh. He became one of us. He became a son of Adam, a son of man, born of a woman, born of the Virgin. Born without sin, not by natural generation, but by the virgin birth, and yet sharing fully in our humanity, taking his humanity from the Virgin. The Word became one of us. He became the second Adam. Who bears our sin? The eternal Son of God. But he couldn't bear our sin as the Son of God, because the Son of God cannot suffer as the Son of God in his divine nature. God cannot suffer. God cannot die. So he became man in order to suffer, in order to die. He took our nature and he took our place, took our sins. He became the Christ. Christ means the Anointed One. He who is the Eternal King was anointed a king in a new sense, to subdue us to himself, to rule and defend us, to restrain and conquer all his and our enemies. He was anointed not just a king, but he was anointed a prophet to teach us, to reveal the Father to us. He who hath seen me hath seen the Father. He is the Word, the speaker, the one who reveals God. And it was the Spirit of Christ who was in the prophets. And he was anointed the priest. We need a priest because we are sinners. And sinners cannot approach a holy God without a priest. Without a priest, we would be consumed. We'd be destroyed. So we need a priest. And he was anointed to be our priest, our representative to God, our mediator between us and God. A priest in order to offer a sacrifice on our behalf, a sacrifice which would be sufficient to satisfy divine justice and to reconcile us to God. And he did that. He became our priest. When he became a man. And as our priest, he took himself and he offered himself. Because he was the only sacrifice that could do the job. He was the only sacrifice that could atone for the sins of the elect. And he offered himself as a sacrifice for us. He became the second Adam. You remember how Adam was tempted there in the paradise of Eden. Satan came along and tempted him. And Adam sinned and fell. The second Adam comes not in paradise, but in a fallen world. Tempted in all points like as we are. There he is, 40 days without food. And he's hungry. He's feeling the pain of hunger. And the serpent says to him, command these stones that they be made bread. And he had the power to do it. But he refused. Eve saw that the fruit was good. She reached out her hand, good for food, took it and ate it. Our Lord Jesus, tempted to make bread out of stones, he said, get thee behind me, Satan. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Painfully hungry, but he refused because he was dependent upon the Father's will. To do thy will, I take delight. He became a servant to save us servants from our slavery. And he was obedient unto death. Who bears our sin? Christ. Second question, what sins does he bear? He bears our original sin. What is original sin? the eating of the forbidden fruit. That one great tragic sin. When the first Adam took that which was refused to him, which God declared so clearly that he should not eat, the forbidden fruit, he took it and he ate it. And here comes the second Adam, and he takes the guilt of that sin upon himself. That original sin from which all actual transgressions flow. He takes our sin, and what is sin? Sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. Lack of conformity to or transgression. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And ever since we entered into the world, we have been making gods for ourselves. Gods out of our family, gods out of our pleasures, gods out of our work, gods out of entertainment, gods of stone, gods of silver and gold, gods of music, gods of football, whatever it is. And he took all upon himself. The second commandment, our sins of false worship. God is a spirit, and we must worship him in spirit and in truth. The third commandment, taking God's name in vain. How often we do it. How lightly we regard God's name. How we should tremble before the name of the Lord. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And every single Sabbath day since we entered this world, we've been breaking. Breaking it in thought, word, and deed. Honour thy father and thy mother. Respect. How natural dishonour is. Disobedience. Thou shalt not kill. Oh, the hatred and the anger and the bitterness in the human heart. Thou shalt not commit adultery. How hard it is to keep these eyes from lusting, these hearts from unclean thoughts. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not tell lies. How many lies have we told in our lifetime? How much deceit. How much hypocrisy. Thou shalt not covet. And the harder Paul tried, as Saul the Pharisee, not to covet, the more convinced he became that he was a guilty sinner. Thou shalt not covet. What sins does he bear? He bears all our sins. Our sins of thought, our sins of word, our sins of deed. Not loving God with all our heart and soul and strength and mind as we should. Not loving our neighbour, not loving our enemy. Every imagination of the heart of man is evil from his youth. Have you ever tried to control your thought life? James says the tongue is hard to control. It's like a spark causing a forest fire. It's like a little rudder that turns about a great ship. But if the tongue is hard to control, who can control the mind? Even at the Lord's table, sitting there, is your mind all the time on Christ? Or is it wandering in the world? And then the crowning sin of all, the sin of unbelief. God so loved the world that he gave his Son. The Son of God came into the world, and we took him and nailed him to the cross. And there's no forgiveness for those who crucify Christ the second time. The unforgivable sin, persistent rejection of the gospel. The sin of unbelief. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, but there's one sin that it can't cleanse us from. The sin of unbelief. And friends, think of what Christ did, who bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Think of the holy, spotless Son of God. Can you imagine what it would be like for you to go to a sewer and gather up in your bare hands the filth and the dung of the sewer, the stinking mess? Well, that's just a faint picture of what Christ had to take upon himself. The stink, the stench of your sins and mine, so abhorrent to our Lord Jesus, the spotless Son of God. What did he bear? He bore our sins. Third question, where did he bear our sins? We're told here that he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. The Old Testament prepares us for the New Testament. Israel were trained for the gospel. Deuteronomy 21 verse 23 talks about a very wicked man. A man who committed some terrible crime. And he was stoned to death. And because he was so wicked, he was hung on a tree as an exhibit. Hung there. But the law of God said he must not be hung there all night, lest the land become polluted. Because to hang on a tree is to be cursed. The land would be polluted. And where does the spotless Son of God bear our sins? Hanging on a tree. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. The Son of God, the Son of the Blessed, the one who is blessed in himself. And he's made a curse. The Blessed One becomes the Cursed One. He bears our sin upon the tree. That cursed place is symbolical of hell, isn't it? People go to hell when they die. Christ went to hell still alive. He bears our sin in the hell of the cross. You know these fanatical Muslims in Syria and Iraq, ISIS. Sometimes news comes out to us that they crucify Christians. What a terrible, painful death these Christians suffer. But there's a difference. They suffer with God's presence, with the comfort of the Holy Spirit. They suffer with all the support and blessing, and their death, if they are true Christians, is a blessed death. But Christ suffered a cursed death. Christ was God abandoned. He cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? No dying Christian will have reason to call out that cry. He was forsaken so that you and I would never be forsaken. He bore our sins on the tree. Fourth question. What pain was involved in bearing our sins? We can be so used to the story of the crucifixion. We can think of the Son of God as so different from us that he really didn't suffer that much. He was God. He could do anything. But Christ did really suffer pain. Extreme pain. And the sort of pain that we couldn't suffer without dying. Verse 21, for even hereunto are you called. Christ is our example, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself unto him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. He suffered for us. He really suffered. Verse 23 speaks of him being reviled, being mocked, being despised, being made a fool of. Think of him, the Son of God, with all the glorious robes of heaven. And see him there in the palace of the high priest, clothed with a purple robe. See him with that crown upon his head, not gold and diamonds, but thorns. See him with a purple robe that was just a cast-off, faded cloak of a soldier. See him with his scepter, his royal rod, but it's only a reed from the river. See them bow the knee before him. Hail, King of the Jews. And then stand up and spit in his face. Spitting in the face of the Son of God. See them blindfolding him and punching him in the face and saying, who punched you? See him scourged with a Roman scourge, by whose stripes you are healed. The lash cutting into his flesh. See the nails hammered into his hands, hammered into his feet. And then he's lifted up upon that cross. The physical pain he endured was the worst kind of pain. And yet it was nothing in comparison to his spiritual pain. The pain of the wrath and curse of God. There he was, covered with the filth of your sins and my sins. Thousands of millions of billions of sins. All the filth of a filthy humanity. All the sins of his people. And the wrath and curse of God. The wages of sin is death. Cursed death. There he was on the cross, going through hell for us. That leads to a fifth question. Whose sins did he bear? Who his own self bare our sins? Not everybody's sins. Not the sins of all mankind, but our sins. He died only for his elect. If he bore the sins of everyone, everyone would be saved. If he had suffered for all the sins of all mankind, there wouldn't be no hell for men and women. Because he made perfect atonement. And there's nothing else required to reconcile God with those for whom he died. Election is an amazing truth. It's there right from the beginning of Scripture. Think of the idolaters beyond the flood in Ur of the Chaldees. And out of those idolaters, Abraham was chosen. Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. And Abraham had two sons, Ishmael the firstborn, Isaac the second. Isaac was chosen, Ishmael rejected. And then Isaac had two children by the same wife, twins in the womb. But before they were born, before they had done good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, it was said, the elder shall serve the younger. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Election. So clearly on every page of Scripture, God could have chosen all mankind. He didn't. He could have chosen none of mankind and left us all to perish. But he didn't. He chose some, and he has a right to do that. With regard to the fallen angels, he chose none of them. He left all the fallen angels to perish. But he chose out of fallen mankind a people for himself. Whose sins did Christ suffer for? My sins and your sins, if you're a child of God. It's personal. He loved me, and he gave himself for me. Think of your sins and see them on Christ. Finally, what is the effect of his bearing our sins? Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. What is the effect of his bearing our sins? It's this, that we are now dead to sin. How amazing. Sin is such a reality to you and me. It's something that we know and experience every day of life, and yet dead to sin. That we, being dead to sins, dead to the guilt of sin, dead to the pollution of sin, dead to sin as the master, the dominion of sin, dead to sin, and alive to righteousness, alive to God, by whose stripes ye are healed. Christ died that we might die, that we might die to sin. And Christ rose again that we might rise with him, living to righteousness, justified, wherein he pardoneth all our sins, past sins, present sins, future sins, wherein he pardons my sins of tomorrow, my sins of next year, my sins of 10 years hence, if I live to that stage, all my sins pardoned through Christ. Justification, sanctification. I was a sinner, now I'm a saint. One day I'll be a perfect saint. By whose stripes ye were healed. Satan the serpent came into the garden and bit our first parents. They were poisoned by the venom of the snake. And you and I are born into this world poisoned with Satan's venom. But through Christ, we're healed. He sucked the venom out. He endured the venom himself. And we are healed, perfectly healed. Ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Returned at one, saved. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to be with myself. That where I am, there you may be. Doesn't say take you to heaven, but take you to be where I am with me. You are now returned to the shepherd, the good shepherd, and you'll be with him forever. And he will lead you to living fountains of water, and God himself shall wipe away all tears from your eyes, the tears of sadness and of sorrow, of grief and of pain. God shall wipe away all tears from your eyes. And you will be with the shepherd of your soul forever, enjoying heaven. Is this true of you today? Can you say, he is mine and I am his? Some are at the table, some maybe are not coming to the table today. Where do you stand? Will you be excluded forever? When the great judgment day comes and the division is made between the righteous and the wicked, when the terrible words are said, depart from me, ye cursed. Come, ye blessed of my Father. The call of the gospel to a wonderful Saviour whose arms are stretched out all day long. Come unto me and I will give you rest. Let's pray.